Alright. Hey, welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy here on your Tuesday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. And you can please go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash the donate, send the fundage to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can call in that debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operator is standing by to keep free speech alive. This is the Tuesday night broadcast. You know the caliber of my co-host on Tuesday night.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Standing well over 6'4", weighing well over 245 pounds of crime-fighting political science, analyzing brawn, live on RBN, Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jeremy, and I was thinking about it, and I really am kind of a big deal.
I thought so.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
I have held off commentary on the Democrat National Convention for this very night. First of all, just to see if there's anything new that pops up, but also to get your analysis, which I value greatly, when it comes to political matters, but all matters as far as that goes. So that's the big deal.
Well, and I've been watching these conventions for a long time, Democratic conventions in particular. And I remember watching on TV the 1968 convention. I can actually go back that far. Certainly 72. 68, you had... 68 is the one that people are comparing to this one because you had a nominee that had not run in the primaries. That was Vice President Humphrey, because President Johnson decided to drop out of the race, although he did that in March and not in late July. And it was also held in Chicago, and there were a lot of, there were riots, frankly, anti-war riots. So that's the one people are comparing it to. And the first night, so I watched a fair amount of it via Nick Fuentes' live stream. And the clip, the part that I, well, okay, honestly, a lot of it was, it was pretty well presented. The Democrats have Hollywood, and so there, it had good visuals. It was, it looked good, and they were on message. What is their message? Abortion. And so the overriding theme was abortion. And Donald Trump's not going to let you do abortions. That was the overriding theme, for better or for worse. But they are playing to, I guess, their base. Is that their base? Whereas the Republican convention, which I really didn't watch, I saw a little bit of it. They were playing to the Democratic base. So the Republican convention speaker, like the first night, was like mostly blacks. They had somebody speaking in Spanish, and they had a woman who actually I has always been very white presenting. What's her name? Something Dillon, Harmeet Dillon, but she's actually Indian, and she did some sort of weird Sikh prayer. When I say Sikh, I mean Sikh. It's a religion. And then of course they had gays, and they had some porn lady with a face tattoo. That was the Republican convention. So the Democratic convention is actually so far coming off a lot better. But there are pretty substantial demonstrations in the street. I don't know how they were today, but yesterday they were substantial. And at some point, they knocked over a little bit of a barrier, but they didn't then pour into the barrier. But the one clip that I chose to send to you was Jamie Raskin. Jamie Raskin, and Nick Fuentes didn't seem to know who Jamie Raskin was. Jamie Raskin's only been in the House of Representatives, I think, since 2018. And his wife was Sarah Bloom Raskin, who was a member of the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, and then left that position to become the Assistant Secretary, or Deputy, what do you call it? Deputy Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury under Obama in his second term. It's, you know, she's Jewish, he's Jewish. He came into Congress and, did he come in? Maybe he came in 2016. And so his very first, the very first thing he did within 2 days or 3 days of being inaugurated a congressman was object to Donald Trump's electoral votes in his first election because of Russian interference or something retarded. And then when in Trump's second second impeachment trial, he was the impeachment manager. He presented the case to the Senate. So he's a Jew. And I never really watched him speak. This was the first time I'd ever actually seen him speak at length. And I was looking at it, and I was thinking, well, you hear about the Ashkenazi Jews having a higher average IQ, but I think Jamie Raskin really offsets it. I mean, he seems really, really retarded. And you're not going to be able to see it in the clip because this is radio, but he was puffing out his chest and he was looking around and he was trying to look kind of like Mussolini, but he was coming off a lot more like Woody Allen. So, but you can listen to it, and he's sounds like he's trying to do like a late night comedy routine, like that he's trying to audition to be the next Stephen Colbert or something. He was telling a bunch of jokes, but they really fell flat. And in one, he paused because he forgot his line. Listen to it, and maybe it was maybe you really need to see him while he's speaking and see like these really insecure expressions on his face as he's looking around the crowd, hoping to get some sort of affirmation. But I thought he sounded retarded. See what you think.
Yeah, I heard the part and saw it where he forgot his line and there's this blank stare on his face. And I'm thinking this guy's waiting for someone to tell him in the earpiece like what the next line is. It was really awkward. But since you've introduced it so eloquently, let's go ahead and feature that clip. It's close to 5 minutes, I guess, if you want to do the whole thing.
You can stop it at any time. But yeah. And I think his full speech was probably 6 or 7 minutes, so we joined it like a minute late.
Yeah, let's play that clip, Mike, and we'll probably play most of it. I want to hear the awkward pause. Yeah, it's the one that I sent as the first clip. Well, yeah, that's full speech, Jamie Raskin.
Well, I had also sent it earlier, and you asked what's this.
I messed up and sent Mike something about Planned Parenthood, and I copied the wrong headline. We'll get that interviewed. Meanwhile, are protests. The protesters are engaging the Chicago police, according to Eyewitness ABC News. Pro-Palestinians protesters confront Chicago police downtown, and it's looking pretty ugly. I'm hoping for a huge crackdown on these protesters just so that the people that support this crap understands that they're completely disenfranchised by the Democrat Party. I mean, the Republicans are disenfranchised too, but they just don't understand it the way that the Democrat core understands it by watching all these tremendous protesters out on the street clashing with cops. And none of the elected officials are wanting to address this. They're just talking about baby killers, homos, and you know, they're defaulting to the things that they thought would gain them popularity, and that has in the past. But no one's really willing to address the Palestinian genocide on this DNC floor. And it's becoming painfully obvious why. You know, it's becoming painfully obvious to the core of the Dems that maybe, yeah, you got the Jamie you're asking? It's becoming painfully obvious, though, that they're disenfranchised. And this whole thing, I think, is going to be an S show. It's going to be an S show.
And if we have another second, that's really the key, because they've got it very well orchestrated. And so far, really, so far, everything is so good for Kamala, right? Everything's working out really, really well for her. I mean, obviously, if she was giving interviews and people could see her speak, she's retarded. But they've been able to hide that pretty well. And, of course, they were able to hide Joe Biden's senility during his whole campaign. But the one thing that they really wouldn't be able to hide would be a lot of chaos in the streets in Chicago.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, well, let's roll that clip. It'll take us up close to the break.
Jamie Raskin, Congressman Jamie Raskin's on the floor. He said, welcome to the Future of Democracy Convention. Let's just dip in for a moment and hear what he's saying.
Raised by this sore loser who does not know how to take no for an answer from American voters, American courts, or American women. Remember what the mob chanted as they stormed the Capitol and injured our officers? Hang Mike Pence. Someone should have told Donald Trump that the president's job under Article 2 of the Constitution under Article 2 of the Constitution is to take care that the laws are faithfully executed, not that the vice president is executed. Pence has now joined more than two dozen officials from Donald Trump's own administration in denouncing him, an historical record. And Pence is the first vice president in more than two centuries not to support the president he served with in a general election. And by the way, J.D. Vance, do you understand why there was a sudden job opening for running mate on the GOP ticket? They tried to kill your predecessor. They tried to kill him because he would not follow Trump's plan to destroy and nullify the votes of millions of Americans. Your votes, Pennsylvania. Your votes, Michigan. Your votes, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona. Are we going to go back to the days of election suppression and violent insurrection?
Okay, are we still hearing it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, look.
We'll just break it.
After that beautiful day, as Trump calls it, the Republicans, 10 Republicans, joined all of the Democrats to impeach Trump for the worst high crime and misdemeanor ever committed by a president. inciting insurrection against our own Constitution. Make no mistake, a man who uses fraud, theft, and violence to take power will commit any crime to keep it. And now Trump's promising to pardon hundreds of his fellow criminal convicts and insurrectionists. He calls for, quote, the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those in the Constitution. My friends, are we the people going to let Donald Trump terminate our Constitution and obliterate the blessings of liberty for our posterity? That's right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To elect that's a good point. Kamala
That's a good point to jump in. Just a quick explanation, Patrick. When we're listening to clips or sometimes music or bumpers, it's coming in choppy for us, but the audience is hearing it. It's a Skype issue.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, but they heard the pause when he was trying to figure out what article said of the president's job.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's. I'm not saying that the Democratic convention is a complete joke. It's coming off the way they want it to come off, and it's coming off in such a way that their own base, to the extent that people watch this, and it's probably just old people who are watching it, and a few interested junkies, it's coming off the way they want it. I think it's more successful than the Republican convention. It's retarded, but the Republican convention was retarded too. And the two messages really that you're getting from it is orange man bad and abortion. And of course the, you know, Trump campaign has been so much centered lately around inflation, really. And then, I'll be the best president for the Jews. Which I'm not saying that just to be snarky. I mean, he's making speeches in front of Jews saying how, you know, this country, you guys, this country used to be dominated by Jews. I mean, the Jewish lobby used to be the most important lobby. What's happening? You know, we got to make America Jewish again. So we got to make America great again for the Jews. That's kind of in his platform. So it is what it is.
Well, at least the Republicans are owning that, and the Democrats don't want to address it at all. They're just defaulting to the abortion and all of the election stuff. Anyway, up on the first break, back on the other side. Winter's in your eyes. I can feel the thunderstorms inside.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by Mynutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shining in front of me. If you can see the light shine out where you'll be.
All right, coming back to the Patrick and Jeremy Show, your Tuesday night live broadcast covering the DNC. And we were just talking about how they're really orchestrating it well, but they're not addressing the elephant wearing the yarmulke in the room, and the fact that they have tens of thousands, maybe more, of protesters outside in the streets clashing with cops right now, wanting them to end the genocide. You even had LGBT groups join. You even had pro-life groups in these protests that are saying, you know, Kamal's a baby killer. So not only referring to abortion here, but I guess to the Palestinian genocide where Israel's killing kids, bombing hospitals. And the New York Post covered this. Fiery anti-Israel protest got underway Sunday on the eve of the DNC convention in Chicago. Demonstrators disrupting a delegate party and one warning, Welcome to Hell Week. Protesters are waiting to confront prominent Democrats. Let's see. There was one where, here we go. At one point, protesters targeted a delegate party at Navy Pier, where one rabble rouser reached the stage, grabbed the microphone, and accused the crowd of funding a genocide. And he was drug off the stage. And that's also covered in this ABC News article talking about the protesters clashing with Chicago police. All of this going on, and I haven't heard anyone on the stage address this Palestinian genocide, or give any type of tip of a hat to peaceful protesters. And no one's saying, like, hey, we appreciate, you know, you out there protesting for what you believe is right. Nothing like that. It's just they're completely defaulting to, you know, orange man bad. Really is what is going on. Patrick.
Yeah. And it, like, right now, people can say that the polls are fake, and the polls may well be largely fake, but I do think that that relatively, that there is a momentum in chlamydia's direction and momentum away from Trump. And the polling averages, and not just the polling averages, but the betting averages, because, you know, there's a betting market for who's going to win. And it has swung very considerably away from Trump and towards Harris. But, of course, the thing is, Harris hasn't hardly said anything. And she's not really capable of saying things that aren't scripted. And you can just go back 6 weeks to that debate between, or 7 weeks, Biden and Trump. And it's not even that everybody was watching the debate, but Biden did really, really poorly. And I remember in 2020, or actually it was 2019, what was considered to be pretty much a knockout blow delivered by Tulsi Gabbard against chlamydia in that debate, because Tulsi Gabbard brought up some real wrongdoings by chlamydia, locking up people for fairly substantial periods of time for marijuana violations. But then when she was asked herself if she had ever smoked marijuana, she just laughed and said, "I'm Jamaican," which is bad enough, but also pointing out that she had, as a prosecutor, she had withheld evidence that on a capital case, evidence that would have shown that the person she was prosecuting may well have been innocent, and she withheld the evidence. So there's some real malfeasance, and so even though I was watching, or at least listening to that debate when it was going on, because I'm interested in these things. Most people don't, but if there's a knockout punch, it does get into the news, and it reverberates through the internet. It can't, even if ABC, NBC, and CBS want to tamp it down, if there's something kind of egregious, it'll get out there. So there will be these debates between Trump and Harris. Trump's not necessarily the best debater, but he's. It's not his first, what do you call it, not his first pony ride, whereas chlamydia has had nothing but massive failures in debates to the extent she's ever done them. I mean, the highlight of her debate was a canned line she had against Joe Biden, where she was calling Joe Biden a racist for having, what was it, for having supported or opposed some civil rights act or something. And she was talking about some little girl who was in second grade. Oh, well, sorry. We'll get to it later. Just talking about chlamydia. Nobody cares.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit. Fact bit number 1. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Okay, coming back to the Patrick and Jeremy Show live on your Tuesday night drive. Patrick, you were mentioning the highlight of chlamydia's debate record is delivering a blow against Joe Biden, who could about racism.
It was notable not so much because it was a knockout blow. It obviously didn't knock him out. It was what was notable about it was she was attacking him for it was actually his voting against school busing, busing, because in the 70s when he was already in the Senate, busing to integrate schools was a big issue, and of course the thing about chlamydia and Biden is they had a relationship because chlamydia was close to Joe Biden's late son, Beau. They were both their respective state attorney generals at the same time and may well have had an affair. I don't know for sure, but there are those who say that they were certainly close friends. And so it seemed kind of like a betrayal. And that's kind of why it was noteworthy. She was attacking him for being racist. But the way she put it was there was a little girl who wrote, she was in the second class in her school that had been desegregated, and she rode the school bus to school every day, and that little girl was me. So, you know, it's just narcissism. It was self-centered, and it didn't hurt Joe Biden at all, and it didn't help her, but it was just illustrative of her narcissism, self-centeredness, and lack of loyalty, because, you know, Biden, I don't know. At any rate, maybe I'm going overboard with that, but it was really kind of shocking then when Biden picked her to be his running mate of all people. That's all I'll say about it.
It wouldn't really matter what they said or how well they did in debates or who picked who. I mean, Biden and Harris were anointed by the DNC against the will of their base. The people wanted Bernie in, you know, 2020, obviously. And all that was wrecked by the COVID stuff. No more debates allowed. We're choosing who your representatives are going to be. That sort of thing. That's the feel that I got for it. So it wouldn't have mattered whether she did a blow against him or not, or the fact that he picked her. I mean, he was told to. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
Pretty much. I mean, the Bernie had done very well against Hillary, and I'm not saying he got more votes than Hillary, but the DNC was certainly prepared to try to block him if he had a little bit more momentum. They were prepared to block him, and what they did in 2020 in canceling or at least postponing the primaries because of the fake pandemic, that was very, very pro Biden. And Biden, and then also there was a coordinated effort to get the other candidates out of the race. And they all dropped out either right before or right after Super Tuesday. You know, Buttigieg and Klobuchar and Bloomberg and what's the guy's name, Steyer, the other Jewish billionaire who was running. They all dropped out, and Elizabeth Warren finally, maybe a little bit after Super Tuesday, they all dropped out and endorsed Biden, which was very, very strange. So Biden was anointed, and then, of course, what's happened this year with chlamydia, not even running for anything. At least Humphrey had competed in caucuses. This is just, she's completely anointed. There is no democratic process whatsoever for her. So right now, I mean, she's got her little honeymoon. I don't know how long it's going to last, but, you know, Trump's campaign is the Trump train's off the rails, so who knows what's going to happen.
I just wanted to bring up, and we are taking calls. If you guys want to call in, we'll selectively pick some calls, 512-248-8252. Call in live on your Tuesday night drive. I wanted to bring up the cognitive dissonance in the electorate on both sides. And I mentioned the abortion bisectomy trucks outside of the DNC. And it's kind of like when kids go to the state fair, you know, they say, well, we can get our ears pierced or get tattoos here at the state fair, and it'll be a memorial event. I think the same feeling is here. You know, they're trying to focus on what they feel are the core issues to their constituents, the right to kill babies and, you know, the racism and all that, and election, you know, insurrection from Orange Man. And so they've got these trucks out here. And I thought it was like, this sounded like something out of an Onion post, you know, some satire, but really it's not. And I said, okay, a vasectomy bus. Okay, I could see that. You go in, you get the procedure done. It's 20, 30 minutes. And then when the abortion bus, when I read about that, I'm like, surely this is not performing abortions on the scene. Surely this is just like handing out like a free ticket to an abortion. You can come to a hospital later. But no, it appears like that it's on the scene. Like, you can literally go there and get an abortion. This is according to the New York Post. At the DNC event, from Dr. Colleen McNicholas. That's weird. But think about the cognitive dissonance. I mean, so the core of the Democrat Party is protesting the killing of children in Gaza and Gazans in general, but specifically, you know, the maiming of children is mentioned. I mean, you had a pediatric doctor appear here at the DNC and give a speech about the horrors that she witnessed in Gaza to children. So you've got this core saying we're against this killing of children and civilians in Gaza, but we support killing the children in the womb. And then on the other hand, you have the Republican conservatard Zionist Christians who wholeheartedly support Israel and support this genocide of children. But yet they're against the murder of children in the womb. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. And I guess it's not supposed to, because it's just the clown show that we've been living for so long. Again, at the RNC, this promotion of homos and all of these degenerate people, it's very clear. It should be very clear to anybody in the electorate with a half a brain that there's no real difference in these two parties. That they're all supporting the same thing. They're all pro-Israel. And the Republicans are not only giving a hat tip to the homos and even to much of the abortion issue, they're not only giving a hat tip, they're like pushing it and putting people up on stage that promote it. So I don't know how anyone can have any faith in this electoral system at all. We do have a caller on hold. Patrick, let me get your comments to that before we go to our caller.
Well, I've just become so sick of the whole abortion issue, because it's just featured so prominently in political discourse during my lifetime, and has crowded out so many other issues. And not just that, but the I think the substance of the debate, there's a lot of real extremism, what I would say extremism on both sides that dominates it. And when I say both sides, I mean I can see people, I can completely understand people being morally opposed to it. But if you look at the extreme, I'll just try to be real quick with this. You look at the extremes. On one side, the extreme is we should be able to kill the baby even during birth, even after birth. And this is actually in the New York law. I read the New York law, and with no safeguards, you can they really have infanticide. It really is there. That's the one extreme. And then the other extreme, if you're not going to make an exception for rape, then you're saying to rapists, well, you can just reproduce with any woman that you can subdue. And I think that's pretty extreme, yeah, too.
Wouldn't it be refreshing to see some consistency? And I'm going to target the conservatard Christians, the Zionist Christians. I mean, a true Christian like myself, I'm anti-war. I'm anti-killing babies in the womb or out of the womb. And so if you could just see a true Christian movement where they were like, well, since we're opposed to killing babies and we consider life at the beginning of conception, surely we would be opposed to killing babies in Gaza who are 1 year, 2 year, 3 years old. But no, you don't see any consistency there. You just see people running with narratives. And that's what I meant by cognitive dissidence. They see it, but they don't comprehend it. They don't process it. And they're just running. Yeah, we might be able to do that. I do want to go to Vinny, though, before we run out of time. And so that's sort of my stance on the abortion issue. Be consistent or get off the pot.
So that's good.
All right, this is an interview, let's see, between, you guys might not know who these people are, but this is an interview, where is it at?
Between David, Patrick Bet David, is that it?
Patrick Bet David is interviewing a internet poker sensational guy that does a lot of poker stuff.
His name Dan Bilzerian, is that the name?
Bilzerian? Yeah. And this may not seem like a big deal, but this whole thing of the genocide in Gaza has prompted very popular internet personalities to comment and talk about Jewish power in interviews for the first time. And this is only going to catch fire and spread. Yeah, we can play some of that clip, Mike. I think I sent you 5 minutes of it, but probably even the first three. Yeah, dude, play what you cleaned up, because there's F-bombs aglore.
To know to see where you're at with that. Let me go to a different conversation with you. Recently, you know, when I watched some of your tweets, I don't know if you've announced this or not. I don't know if you've joined AIPAC. I don't know if you are, you know, if you are an advisor for them. Let me read some of these tweets. you know, Muslims aren't the problem. The open borders and motherfuckers and the media attacking nationalism, pushing DEI, transgenderism, and destroying moral values are the problem. August 4th. If you don't put America first as a U.S. politician, you are committing treason. Supporting Israel is bad for America. Netanyahu is a convicted war criminal, and Israel is not our ally. We fought way too many wars for Israel, and we certainly don't need to give them any more money. July 25th. These idiots have ruined movies. Everything they put out is literally propaganda. And then all of a sudden, we got scripture here. For what shall it profit? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Is this recent, you know, comments you're making about Israel a recent thing, or have you always had these beliefs?
It's more recent. I didn't really realize what a problem it was until recently, and then everybody was scared to say something about it. My brother told me, like, you know, you can't say anything about it, kill you. Like, everybody basically said that I couldn't say anything about it. And actually now they're like literally like trying to like kick me off the board of my company because of those tweets. So like, yeah, I've definitely had a lot of like negative pushback, a lot of my Jewish friends, but I don't give a fuck, you know. It's like one of those things where I know that it's the right thing, and the fact that everybody else is scared to say it makes me, you know, feel obligated to be vocal about it.
Why do you think it's the right thing?
Because I know that they're a parasite. Like, they provide the U.S. absolutely no value. They've done so many things that, you know, would constitute, you know, an act of war against us. I mean, USS Liberty, Lebanon Affair, I mean, it can go on and on and on and on and on. But, you know, I think they knew about 9/11. I think they had JFK assassinated. The first thing that he wanted to do, you know, right before he died was, you know, make AIPAC a foreign entity, and not allow them to have nukes. And then all of a sudden, this guy's dead, and Jack Ruby, who is Jack Rubenstein, you know, I mean, it's just like, and then you just, I don't know, man, I can't ignore all the shit they've done. They sold our secrets. Netanyahu lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. We fought all these wars. My friends have died over there. Like, you know, and I just look at what they provided us with, and it's fucking, it's not nothing. It's like a.
Well, the gist here, I know the audience may not know who these people are. Dan Bilzerian, a poker magnate, being interviewed by Patrick Bet David. But a lot of people under 40, a lot of people, and millennials consume this content. And you're going to see more of these types of interviews where internet personalities are talking openly about Jewish power. I mean, you mentioned the USS Liberty and the Levant affair, that's major just in and of itself. But then if you read, if you listen to the entire interview, you can find it on the Daily Stormer. You know, Blazarian goes on about how AIPAC basically buys our politicians. And even though there are other, you know, the interviewer is like, well, there's other foreign countries that lobby, but yeah, they're registered. AIPAC is not. They're the only foreign lobby that's not registered and that can influence our politicians to this extent. That was the gist of the interview. And it's just hard to play the whole thing because of the F-bombs, and we're trying to keep it classy. Anyway, Patrick, your comments on this, and let's go to Vinny.
Yeah, I heard it. And I talk about it in, maybe I talked about it on my show earlier today, but Bilzerian looks like he recently read David Duke, or, you know, read somebody who read David Duke. I mean, because he was using mostly David Duke's talking points. Every now and then, he'd say something maybe that's a little bit inaccurate, and that wouldn't be from David Duke. But that's a big deal. Patrick Bet David, I was aware of him before, but I was really surprised at how much Patrick Bet David was running cover for the Jews. He really was. He kept pushing back. Yeah, but Iran. Yeah, but China. But Bilzerian stood up to him and had counters for all of the cover he was running for Jews. So anyway, let's go to Vinny now.
Vinny in Indiana.
Hi, guys. There's breaking news that Donald Trump earlier in the day made comments that he'd be willing to find a place in his administration for Robert F. Kennedy. And now there's an interview with Nicole Shanahan, Kennedy's running mate, that they're considering dropping out and endorsing Trump because the Democrats have tried to play really hardball in blocking Kennedy on a lot of ballots in a lot of the critical states. And now the news I've seen in the last hour is that Kennedy is going to endorse Trump.
That's very interesting. That's, and you know something, even though like I've gotten to the point with Trump that I don't even care, but the Democrats, I have a massive personal grudge against the Democrats because I worked on the Ralph Nader campaign 20 years ago, and the Democrats for years have just been awful with this ballot access stuff, keeping Nader off, keeping the Greens off, trying to keep Kennedy off. And it's not just that they try to keep people off the ballot, but they try to destroy people for getting on the ballot. There was a man who was, I think he was Jill Stein's campaign manager 8 years ago, named Carl Romanelli. He was from Scranton or somewhere in Pennsylvania. And he was running for Senate years ago. And they did ruin him. He was just like a regular person. And they wound up suing him for $90,000 in court costs. He didn't have $90,000. And they sued him. This was, Patrick, what's the guy's name? I want to say Patrick Casey. Whoever the Senator Casey is from Pennsylvania, it was the Casey campaign that they sued him and drove him into bankruptcy. And they made it so that people were afraid to try to even get on the ballot because not only do you get kicked off the ballot, but then you get sued for having tried to get on the ballot. And so the Democrats, if this has happened and if this is over ballot access issues, then they deserve it. So that's my response.
So what does Jeremy think?
I think that these politicians, these alleged representatives, you know, because politics, as Patrick has taught me, is more about than just voting. You can say, well, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. Both sides are for Israel. But all of this discussion, this is bringing about a national discussion. There's 345 approximate million people in America. And I don't know what percentage of that are part of the electorate. Maybe close to 120 million are part of the electorate. But people are talking about this now, and it's forcing the issue. It's forcing people to talk about what about this, the ballot access stuff, the Palestinian genocide. I mean, the left is completely just crumbling, and this is evidenced by the protesters in Chicago tonight. And it's forcing everyone to talk about the issues. And as the reason we played that Blazarian clip, the poker magnate, is because younger people are looking at the internet and they're watching these interviews, and it's going to become a huge talking point, and criticism of the Jews is going to be huge. And once they're allowed to be criticized, their power is going to wane. That seems to be the consensus that I've read among different types of people, and I know Patrick, you would probably agree with that. If they can be allowed to be criticized in open forums, then their power is going to diminish.
Patrick. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Vinny.
I think Kennedy will certainly help Trump in his weak spot of, where Trump got bamboozled into fast-tracking a vaccine. Of course, the vaccine didn't show up until, weeks after Trump was already out of office. But, it'll help him there. It'll help him in just general environmental issues. I think, Kennedy does more than just vaccines. He talks about, these forever chemicals that are wrecking people, the endocrine, male and female hormone issues. He's good on, all sorts of environmental issues. And I think he'll also help Trump if we get into a contested election, having Kennedy as a lawyer who has dealt with these types of issues in the past, you know, that's another thing for Trump. You know, that he'll have somebody on his side, talking about these things, because he has his experience. He knows what goes on internally in the Democratic Party in this area. He's been fighting it all year.
Yeah.
Well, I would add to add a fine tip to my point is that think about how much people are talking about Jewish power now, in light of the October 7th, the Palestinian genocide, and the Democrat base completely collapsing over this issue. Think about how much people are talking about Jewish power now as opposed to 8 years ago or whenever Trump ran, 2016, yeah, right? It's accelerated. And so this is the type of acceleration that I think people are looking at and that have been calling for the conversations on these issues. Have been multiplied exponentially.
Jimmy Dore talks about the USS Liberty and the Levant affair and all that stuff. And, of course, Max Blumenthal talks about it. Of course, he gets more of a pass because he's one-quarter Jewish. But, Jimmy Dore, just today, they were quoting Candace Owen going in about, a lot of the history of, the Zebedi Zevi and the Frankist, Jacob Frank, and a lot of the, sacrificial blood rituals that are really taboo to talk about. You got to play that song for Patrick. Break the Jew taboo.
Thanks, Vinny, for your call. Thanks a lot, man. We'll be back tomorrow on The Bugle. On RBN with Patrick Jeremy Part 2. Patrick, you stay classy.
Thank you very much.
You know the thing. Got hairy legs that turn.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempace by MyNutra. Why is Hempace better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempace. Hempace contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.